Back together again, you and I kicking off a brand new month in style, Tuesday, November 1st, 2022 on Connecticut Today. We have featured a few of my thoughts on what Connecticut U.S. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy said the previous day regarding the November midterm elections. Your Choice Direct Care founder Dr. Chad Savage talked about health care and the state of COVID relief spending. So I guess today's Hair on Fire Award goes to Chris Murphy, our junior U.S. senator, who's been fairly quiet because Senator Murphy is not up for re-election this year. The end of his six-year term is 2024, and there's already posturing of who will take on Chris Murphy after the likely win by Dick Blumenthal over Leora Levy next Tuesday. I mean, who knows? Could be a monumental upset there. But just when things are quiet enough, you just know that Chris Murphy, picking the spots he wants to pick because he has fancies, I guess, on being Secretary of State or whatever, Chris Murphy comes out and he goes full hair on fire. And I mean, and again, let's start. Can we start today, by the way, hi, how are you? Can we start today with another edition of Paul's ever-favorite game, Calm Down, Calm the Blank Down. God, how I'd love to fill in the blank right now. But you know what I mean. Senator, with all due respect, sir, calm the down. Politico.com, big political news site. Many people read it. Some don't, but it's kind of one of these fingers on the pulse websites. Politico.com, Senator Chris Murphy, debt default, shutdown, constant impeachments. That's how he is describing a House takeover. So again, Chris Murphy's not waiting for the will of the people to then say, I told you so. Chris Murphy, for some reason, has got to tell us that the world's going to end. Because I say this for both sides, folks. I say it for the Republicans who are apocalyptic, and I say it for the Democrats, too. Calm down. Talk about irresponsible rhetoric and warning. Hey, Senator, I got a question for you. If people are so afraid of Republicans, why are they going to win the House? Tell me. You can't fall back on the old sword, on the old canard of, well, it's the Electoral College. No, 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 Chief. You can't do that here on this one. Senator Murphy telling reporters at the Capitol on Monday, there will be no governing in the House if Republicans take over. Ooh, I'm pretty apocalyptic about what the House will look like if Marjorie Taylor Greene is in charge, Murphy said. It's an absolute nightmare if Republicans win. It'll be potentially, here it is, cataclysmic. God almighty, talk about irresponsible. Talk about irresponsible. And this is the side that always says, you know, the way you talk in Washington, the way we talk in this country, we got to calm things down. Yes, Senator, we really do have to calm things down. And talking about the will of at least half the country, if not more, in the House, which is up for election every 2 years, so ostensibly it could be a clean slate, right? Talking about that like the will of the people is going to be potentially cataclysmic? Oh, that's responsible. Yeah, that gets the old A-plus for responsibility today. Chris Murphy, way to go. Way to make Connecticut proud. Are you kidding me? Come on. Come on, Senator. You're saying this for effect, right? Because you can't, your party cannot, and I'm not apologizing for everything the Republicans do. That's not what I'm saying. But your party, after 2 years of literally getting almost nothing done, you got a few things done, which is good, but you had to do that through reconciliation. But your party is suddenly going to be all over the weekend shows like they were this past week. It's, oh, the tenor. We have to hold the tenor down. We have to be nice. And then you come out on Monday and say, yeah, if the Republicans take over, it'll be potentially cataclysmic. Cataclysmic! A cataclysm. Is he nuts? Seriously, why would you talk that way? What are you trying to scare people into getting out to vote? I guess you are. My God. And I say that when the Republicans say dumb things, too. So I'm not being partisan here. Can everybody and anybody please calm the down. You know, half of the time, the people saying that, you know, our tone on both sides is too pitched. It's too feverish. We have to slow it down. I am convinced more and more kids, I really am, but I try to convince myself this is not the case. I am convinced more and more that the people who keep saying that are the ones that want it. I mean, all of a sudden, Senator Murphy knows that Marjorie Taylor Greene is in charge. Really? Really? Now, you folks know, I'm not necessarily a Marjorie Taylor Greene fan. In fact, some of the stuff I think she says is borders on moronic. The gazpacho police, that was my favorite, too. Or the peach tree dish. Whew. It's a real Mensa candidate right there. But Chris Murphy, come on. Now you talk about a cheap way of scaring people. And if you don't like when the other side does it, Senator, then why are you doing it? Then why are you doing it? Ah, but again, there's more. You think we're done now with our junior Senate member. How about this? Today's Connecticut Post, Hearst Connecticut Media. Alexander Sewell's story. Senator Murphy calls for a probe of Elon Musk and the Elon Musk led takeover of Twitter. Everybody cares about Twitter now, you know. It's the end of the world. The world is going to end, folks. The world, I'm telling you. Did you know that? The world is going to implode. It's going to end because Elon Musk runs Twitter. Now, nobody, especially on the Democratic side, nobody says a word about TikTok. They never say a thing about TikTok. Trump, for all the people that hated him, he was damn right about TikTok. He wants TikTok banned in the U.S. In fact, there are more U.S. national security people who came out the past couple of days and are saying, hey, TikTok is a virtual siphon of the information of the young users right back to the Chinese Communist Party. But it's interesting, isn't it? Nobody, and Dick Blumenthal comes on this radio station, I'm going to go after Facebook, and we're going to go after Instagram. You're not going after anybody. Stop it. They'll out-lawyer you for the next 10 years. Stop it. But you can't say boo about TikTok. Just the way that if you're in the NBA, you can't criticize China. Don't touch the Chinese Communist Party, because the NBA's got to sell shoes, even if we have anti-Semitic players. It's another thing I'll get into later. Oh, my God. Murphy calls for a probe of Elon Musk. Why? Because the Saudis have money in TikTok. Okay, kind of funny, isn't it, that nobody cared about the Saudi money when they made their initial investment in TikTok, as somebody pointed out to Senator Murphy 11 years ago in 2011. Listen, this is just another feckless attempt at electioneering. Why are we talking about the Saudis? Bob Stefanowski. That's why. All of a sudden, we have people in our congressional delegation who are, hold on, see, I'm beating my breast. And I'm clutching my pearls. You can't see my pearls, but I'm clutching them. Everybody is a phony now about the Saudis. Everybody is a phony about the Saudis. And I agree with Susan Bisewitz on this one. Joe was talking about this the other day, and I talked about it because I had seen this quoted. Susan Bisewitz said, well, if we're so concerned about the Saudis, then divest the $22 million we have in holdings here in Connecticut that we hold with the Saudi government. I agree with the lieutenant governor on that. So are we serious, or do we now just care about the Saudis because Bob Stefanowski? That's right. Just keep going. Saudi this, Saudi that. Little Saudi here and a Saudi here. Unreal. Come on, Senator. You're killing us on two things here. Now you want a probe of Twitter. Ooh, let's probe Twitter. It'll feel good for both of us. You folks know I love to talk with folks who are in the middle of the healthcare industry, people dealing with this every day, seeing what we're spending what on and what we're not spending on, this whole COVID relief spending spree. Have we really been doing this or not? What's going on with that money? Dr. Chad Savage is the guest. He's the founder of Your Choice Direct Care. So he didn't like the framework that he was administering health care in. He went out and started something on his own, and he's keeping an eye on the healthcare business for us. All this all this sort of COVID spending as well. Hey, Dr. Savage, it's Paul here at WICC. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Good to be on the show.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. This whole COVID relief and this whole, you know, COVID spending spree that we're supposedly on, I was looking at some of the background information that your folks had sent me. Interesting is that we're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars in this COVID spending spree. How much of this have we actually spent so far? What is this getting us in your mind?
Yeah, so actually, it exceeds the magnitude of the spending you just described by a thousandfold. It's not in the billions, it's in the trillions. It's up to $7 trillion, which really describes the absolute absurdity of the numbers that we're dealing with, that it's so shifted the Overton window of acceptable federal spending, where as recently as 10 years ago, we would talk about budgetary items in the billions of dollars, and people would really furrow their brow and contemplate whether the spending of that magnitude was appropriate. Well, we've thrown all caution to the wind with COVID, and now, you know, within a matter of a few years, have authorized in excess of $7 trillion through both legislative and administrative actions, of which, and this is the amazing thing, mm-hmm. of which of $600 billion remains unspent, and yet the executive branch, the president, is continuing to go back and ask Congress, glad-handing and put it in poor-handing his way to asking for billions of additional spending on top of that, which has already been authorized.
What, Dr. Savage, what have we spent that on so far, and what are we spending it on? Because, you know, excuse me for being a cynic here, but I think you can understand where we keep getting told, you know, when I read these stories every day on my show, hey, this is going to help us be better prepared the next time. We're not going to make the mistakes we did the first time. Well, you know, excuse me if I'm a little cynical here. Am I wrong? Is the money being well spent, not well spent? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you can talk about well spent and well earned, and I think right now the thing that's been well earned is your cynicism. I think when looking at the reaction of the government to the pandemic over the last several years, I think a grand cynicism has developed in many of us. Mm-hmm. And of that, so a lot of that $7 trillion that was initially allocated actually went, though targeted to COVID, it really did not go to treat the infection. Most of it went to the PPP programs to try to mitigate the disastrous economic consequences of the reaction to the infection. But if you were to take, for example, what would be a really good, you know, outcome or use of those dollars, and I would actually contend, I think the most optimal use of those dollars is to retain those dollars within the person who earned them's hand, the taxpayer, and not give them to the bureaucrats to squander. But if you look at in the United States, we spend about $6 billion every single year in cancer research.
Okay.
We have $600 billion left unspent in the COVID relief. So that is equivalent to 100 years of cancer research, which if you could argue that with 100 years of cancer research, it is not implausible that you could actually cure cancer.
Hmm.
So what if with that residual $600 billion you could cure COVID? What would be a more meaningful impact? Curing COVID, which has been at maximum, though not trivial by any means, and its height was the third leading cause of death in the United States, mm-hmm. or to cure cancer, which is the second leading cause of death in the United States and has been a bane upon human existence since the origination of our species.
And we have a few more minutes here with Dr. Chad Savage before we speak to him about his Your Choice Direct Care practice, which is practicing medicine a little bit new, a little bit differently. These practices starting to catch on even more. Before we get to that, Dr. Savage, with more of his ideas here on federal health spending, and by the way, his piece, Don't Buy Into the COVID Relief Spending Spree, has been posted at realclearhealth.com, posted a few weeks ago at realclearhealth.com. So, you know, Dr. Savage, that's interesting what you mentioned earlier of how much cancer, research we could do with the equivalent of this COVID money. I mean, do we just react to the moment here? Are we not serious about these diseases or what?
No, absolutely. I mean, government tends to be reactionary instead of proactive, unfortunately. And the big thing that we should be being proactive about is this looming debt crisis. I mean, this has been discussed in policy circles for decades, that it continues to grow and grow. But what people don't seem to realize is that if we continue to spend at these exorbitant levels, eventually it will come calling. That day of debt collection will occur. And if you recall, about 10 years ago, the same thing occurred in Cyprus. Cyprus had vastly overspent compared to their gross domestic product and didn't have an ability to sustain that kind of spending. And people literally went to bed one night thinking everything was fine, only to wake up the next day to find that their bank accounts had been frozen, many of the assets had been seized by the government, and they could only withdraw $40 from ATMs per week.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. And unfortunately, though people kind of recall it with, kind of superficially, the thought that that could happen to the world's largest economy is lost on most people. But if that happens to us, it's been said before that when America sneezes, the entire world gets a cold. Well, if our economy collapses, there is literally no place to hide. And we would be talking about economic devastation. And that's not just a bunch of fat cats sitting around, smoking their stogies and counting their millions. Economic destruction affects every single person. In fact, it affects the most needy the most. And people wonder, they say, well, you're a doctor, why do you care about these things? Because that is human suffering. That will amount to illness, and that even results in death. Because it has been shown that the people who make the least in our country have, on average, a 10-year lower life expectancy than those who are most well off. So that will impact health, and that should concern us all.
You, Dr. Savage, are among a new wave, I guess we can say, of health providers here, trying to do something in your local practice that people can read about. It's not around here, but it's yourchoicedirectcare.com. And I know there have been doctors like you who are on what, direct payment systems. You don't deal with insurance companies, do you?
Yeah, well, not for our own payment. We still do. Unfortunately, we can't totally get away from dealing with patients' insurances for services beyond what we can provide. But we're, as direct primary care, which is the term used for our philosophy of providing care. Mine is just one practice amongst around 2,000 across the nation. And for people who are interested in that, dpcfrontier.com has a mapper feature where you can find practices similar to my own. They're all independent that practice a shared philosophy. Because we get out of the governmental insurance company controlled system and actually work for our patients. And by doing so, we actually decreased our overhead by about 50%, which means we can actually give better care, better service, and actually cheaper prices, while also people know they're truly getting our opinion and not the opinion that's coerced by the payment system.
So your practice in this type of practice, and then also, doctor, I know this is not directly what you are, I believe, but you have practices like you, and then I have interviewed people that are trying to do different things with what's called, I guess, concierge care as well. So I know there are people in your business, men and women, MDs and everybody in the business who are, you're trying to do things differently, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. We're trying to fix the system. Unfortunately, many people in our generation never grew up understanding anything other than paying doctors through the insurance company. But in reality, what we look at is treated as an anomaly. But historically, actually using insurance, anything other than as a hedge against catastrophic financial loss, but using it as a payment mechanism, that's the anomaly. That's inefficient. They put stipulations on the care, what your doctor can do, what they can order, who they can refer to, and that's the true costly and corrupting anomaly in the practice of medicine.
Dr. Chad Savage, you can read the piece. It was posted a few weeks ago in realclearhealth.com. Dr. Savage, thanks. We appreciate it. Take care and good luck down the road. And you have our numbers, so anytime you need us, feel free to give us a call. We appreciate it.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dr. Chad Savage, founder of Your Choice Direct Care. That's the medical side of what he does. And he also wrote that editorial there saying, hey, with all this money that the feds are doling out post-COVID, I guess with all good intentions, how's it really being spent? And is it being spent the best way it could be for long-term and short-term benefits?